listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Guys, we got to start with the big news that came out of the NFL / college football world when the NBA probably thought, all right, the NFL's gone. It's moving away. No more NFL. We can finally steal some headlines. This time is our time. The NFL, like a thief in the night, steals back every headline on a Monday as Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner, has announced he will be pursuing his NFL career. There was some talk whether he was going to play baseball, whether he was going to keep continuing on to try and play in the NFL. He'll be going to the combine. And now the speculation is what happens from here with Kyler Murray. So, general thoughts overall. Brad Powers, you've been covering college football. You've been betting college football for a long time. Overall, general thoughts on Kyler Murray's decision.
Good move for Kyler Murray. I think just generally speaking from a monetary aspect, got more guaranteed money for him for the first 4 years. And I'm fully expecting Kyler Murray to not only be drafted in the first round, but to probably be a top 10 pick. So makes sense monetarily for him, not getting lost in the shuffle, playing AAA ball in baseball. But, you know, what's Kyler Murray? Because I'm more player driven a lot of times. So how do I evaluate Kyler Murray, the prospect? I think it's built the NFL in today's day and age. The current NFL is built for a guy like Kyler Murray. If you were asking me 15, 20 years ago, hey, what's your thoughts on Kyler Murray, a guy that's going to come in at 5'9" at best, 185 pounds, soaking wet at quarterback. What's your thoughts? Fourth, fifth round at best. No shot to be a star. But the way the current rules are set up in the NFL, I think it'll be a fine prospect. I think Baker Mayfield, I at least saw more out of him. So if I was grading prospects, I'd rather have Baker Mayfield, but Kyler Murray is going to be a top 10 pick.
And you guys saw him in Atlanta, correct? Steve Fezzik, you guys saw him in Atlanta, and I'm not trying to say that you height shame the guy, but there was conversation before the show about where he's stacked up next to you guys in Atlanta.
Yeah, so our very own Mackie stood right next to Kyler Murray. Mackie is 5'9.5". I got to tell you, Jonas, it's a pick'em. Who was taller? So 5'9.5", if you can play under 5'10 at the combine, and I think that's going to be available, that would be one fine wager. I think Brad brings up a great point, though. Even 3 or 4 years ago, we saw RG3 just get beat up in the NFL, but the refs protect the quarterback so much that I think it's a kind of myth now that you have to be a 6-foot quarterback to succeed.
Yeah, I think that's sort of an old thought, like an old school thought that we all sort of get stuck in that lazy set of mind of, oh, you know, this guy's too small. He can't play in the NFL. And I do believe that there is potential for Kyler Murray to have success in the NFL. I mean, he did do amazing things at Oklahoma, even in a short time. It makes all the sense in the world for him to at least pursue the NFL. You remember Cardale Jones? Cardale Jones made the biggest mistake of any potential quarterback first-round pick that I can recall in recent memory. He had a small sample size where he went in and he won the Big Ten championship game, then he won the semifinal, and then he won the national championship. He had a small sample size, and you had scouts in the NFL, and you had people in the NFL talking about him as a first-round talent. He went back to school the following year, played an opener against Virginia Tech, and I think NFL scouts around the league were like, ooh, dodged a bullet there. It didn't work out. So I get the move for Kyler Murray. I think if you can strike while the iron's hot, you do it. I'm totally on board with the move, Brad.
Yeah, and we talk here in Vegas about sample size. And that is, forget the height for me. What's one of the drawbacks for Kyler Murray? Smaller sample size than a guy like Baker Mayfield, who we saw for 3.5 years as a starting quarterback. It's also obvious Lincoln Riley's offensive system has produced 3 of the top 4 passing efficiency seasons in the history of college football the last 3 years. 3 of the top 4 in the history of college football have come out of a Lincoln Riley offense. So to me, some of that's been kind of went by the wayside this year with Big 12 quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield having some success. But to me, it still was an offensive tailor-made system for him, and that'll be a concern. But with all these concerns, I think the Vegas takeaway is, when can I bet Kyler Murray as far as going early in the draft, because here's one thing we know. These teams will reach for a quarterback. No matter where we stack rank him as far as prospect rankings, teams want a quarterback, and they're not afraid to reach at that position.
And look at the success that teams had reaching last year. Okay, Josh Rosen was terrible. But you look at Darnold, he was capable. Mayfield greatly exceeded expectations. Lamar Jackson, I mean, just had a year no one expected that he would have.
I think Josh Allen exceeded the most expectations out of all of them. I was down on Josh Allen.
Yeah, Mr. Inaccuracy, Josh Allen suddenly learned to hit his receivers, and he has wheels. So you've got four of the top five quarterbacks taken with their teams pleased.
And if you met Josh Allen, a lot of the moves that they've done in Buffalo, remember Sean McDermott was on the Carolina staff. Derek Anderson brought in as an assistant. I believe Ken Dorsey was also brought on as an assistant. I think they see Josh Allen as a Cam Newton-type player, and they want to try and at least feed that as much as they can so that he can have the most success. I think what's happening, there's two things here that are interesting about the Kyler Murray situation. So the decision to come out, I think teams are willing to take a chance on these smaller size quarterbacks, even with a small sample size of playing time. Look at Mitch Trubisky. Brad, what did Mitch Trubisky have in college? 13 starts?
13 starts, 1 year.
Yeah, and went number two overall, and they traded up a spot to make sure that they got him in Chicago as opposed to letting anybody else take a crack at him. So to me, I think the small sample size, and also teams are less fearful of that, and they're less fearful of the financial obligation, because you're not having to pay these big-time Matt Stafford $50 million guaranteed deals. Jamarcus Russell, you whiff on the first pick, and it sets your franchise back a decade. The financial commitment isn't what it used to be. And I think that we are seeing teams now, who, and they probably should have done this a long time ago, taking college concepts and thinking, you know, instead of trying to make you fit what we do, how can we fit what you do? And I think that's why you've seen less quarterback busts around the league. Who was the last first-round bust in the NFL? Paxton Lynch? I mean, honestly, think about you could say whatever you want about Trubisky and Watson and Mahomes. And, yeah, you know, they didn't do everything they possibly could have done in the playoffs. But they were there, and they all had their best seasons of their career. And that was after a draft class in Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, when everybody said, yeah, that was really the draft class. Whatever you do, wait on the 2017 class, because then you're going to get Rosen and Mayfield and all these other quarterbacks. And yet all three of those guys, the first three quarterbacks that win the first round, were all in the playoffs and all dealing late into the season. And Mahomes was an overtime away from going to the Super Bowl. So I feel like, and Brad, covering college football, and you've been around it a long time, what took the NFL so long to adopt some of these college concepts to try and increase the success rate for these quarterbacks? Stubbornness?
Yeah, I would say. But we've obviously seen the success of Sean McVay. It's a copycat league. So whenever somebody finally breaks through and has that success adopting some college systems, it wasn't necessarily Sean McVay in that example, but and then we see it a little bit more. I think it takes time, because this wasn't just a college thing. I think what we're seeing from quarterbacks, and RJ's brought this up many times, this is starting at the 7-on-7 level, back early high school with these guys, the specialization of the quarterback position, going to specific quarterback camps when you're 13, 14 years old. I think we're finally 10 years after that, since we started adopting that as far as in their age. We're finally seeing the end results of that in the NFL.
Steve Fezzik, you've been known to be the dirtiest player in the game. If somebody goes down with a hamstring tear, you're betting the under on number of minutes they play in a game. You are the the dark knight of the show. And so I say that because if you can make money on Kyler Murray right now, how would you do it? What are you looking at?
I think I would wait for the draft propositions to come out. And the second they come out, Jonas, I would go ahead and be bullish on Kyler Murray and bet that he is going to get taken earlier than expected, because I think all the money is going to flow in that direction. And both Brad and I feel there's a really good chance he's going to get taken in the top eight.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So one of the other big stories out of the NFL that I actually think could have an impact, that I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, especially from a Vegas standpoint, this could have an impact on one team's season during the first half of the season, and we can explain that coming up shortly, but the Cleveland Browns signed Kareem Hunt earlier today. Now, Kareem Hunt, everybody has probably seen the video by now. He was waved by the Kansas City Chiefs after the video came out, a disturbing video, apparently kicking a woman outside an elevator. It took place about a year ago. He was not truthful about it, according to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is why they let him go. He's no doubt a talented player. I have no issue personally with them making the decision to sign Kareem Hunt. I believe in second chances. If they're willing to give the guy a second chance, more power to him. And if he has success and he comes back and he's a better person because of it, good for him. John Dorsey liked Kareem Hunt in college. He was part of the staff that drafted Kareem Hunt. I actually think if it wasn't the Browns who were going to sign him, I think the Bears would have made a push at it. Matt Nagy is close with Kareem Hunt. He was his offensive coordinator in Kansas City. So he was going to get a job, and now we know that that job is going to be with the Cleveland Browns. So the question is, Steve Fezzik, somebody who does as good a job as anybody anywhere in telling you the actual value from a betting standpoint that a player has on a game/team, what value does Kareem Hunt have for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, for most teams, Kareem Hunt would be worth half a point. That doesn't sound like very much at all, but remember, in the NFL, the wise guys, Vegas, we don't value running backs very much. And look what happened with Kansas City. Damian Williams, the third string running back, did just fine for Kansas City. However, Kareem Hunt is worth half a point to most teams. However, Cleveland has a top 10 in the league rusher in Chubb already, so he's going to be worth less, Kareem Hunt, to Cleveland than he would be to some other teams. He's worth less than half a point to Cleveland.
Now, the other aspect of this is, when does he play? Brad Powers, believe it or not, you can actually bet on when Kareem Hunt will be done with his punishment to play an NFL game. Like I said, if you want to know how you can make money on any aspect of sports or anything, these are the guys to talk to. So, Brad Powers, how can you potentially make money on Kareem Hunt's return?
Well, I don't know if I have a strong take on when this will go down, but let's just give you the odds on when Kareem Hunt will play this season. Bet Online offered these odds up today. Week 5 through 8 is the favorite, so that's fully anticipating that Hunt will be suspended or at least not available to play for the Browns for the first 4 games. Week 5 through 8 plus 150. How about this? Does not play at all this season. 6-1, Jonas.
So it's suspended the entire year, 6-1. That's amazing. Now, look, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would hope that there's some crazy stuff goes down and we find out that Roger Goodell bet on weeks 5 to 8, and then that way we've got a whole nother issue to worry about. That's just my selfishly thinking ahead. So there's
not that. Worth it. I'm figuring that I would say you can only get down maybe a nickel on that one. Yeah. Not very much, Jonas.
Now, for those of us out there that think a nickel is 5 cents, what is a nickel to the gamblers who actually make real money?
$500.
Okay. See, you learned something new. Hey, I'm doing my best, John. Yeah. I'm getting dirty looks from John across the glass like I'm an idiot because I don't know what a nickel means. What's a dime?
Dime would be a vanilla chip. That'd be $1,000. And a $5,000 bet in Vegas is considered to be a chocolate. That's a brown $5,000 chip.
Right there. Like, it could have just been, hey, this is what it's worth. Not only did Fez just clown me by telling me what those are worth, but he told me the color. Are you serious, man? Every time I go to Vegas, I'm hammered. I can't see colors. I can barely see where my feet are walking half the time. I'm just trying not to fall into the fountain outside of Bellagio. But again, you learn something new on this show. So there's that. Vanilla and chocolate. Good.
Straight out of Vegas! Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so guys, let's get into something that surprisingly did pretty well here on Straight Out of Vegas. We're going to get into the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, that debuted this weekend. The ratings were better than a lot of people thought. It outperformed the NBA. I know it's just week 1 on Saturday night in the ratings. So overall, what did you guys make of the league? Fez, I'll start with you. You've been covering the NFL. You know the NFL well. What did you make of that in comparison to what we see every Sunday in the fall?
Well, I think the teams are going to struggle to score early, and this makes sense. You've got a whole bunch of new skill position players working together, and continuity is so important. Even in the NFL, we see lower scoring typically in weeks one and two. And frankly, we saw some lower scoring games than we expected in the AAF, despite some rules changes made to help to promote scoring.
Now, Brad, did you recognize any of the guys playing from covering college football and saying, oh, that's where that guy ended up?
I mean, Garrett Gilbert, you know, former Texas quarterback. I think Logan Woodside, Toledo quarterback. Plenty of players. The talent level obviously is nowhere near the NFL, but I thought it was actually a decent level of competition. It wasn't borderline really bad football. It was better than what I saw from the XFL in their debut game.
You know, one thing that has not changed is Christian Hackenberg's inability to quarterback at any level as he led Memphis to 0 points in their opener.
Yeah, he's terrible. That's unbelievable. And my favorite part about Hackenberg is when he tried to blame his struggles on James Franklin when he entered the draft. That really sat well with a lot of NFL GMs. But the Jets liked him enough they took him in the second round, so good for them. So here's then the big question. Steve Fezzik, how do you take advantage of this? Because if you're a person out there who's looking for things to bet on, the NFL's gone, and you know the NFL best, you're looking around trying to figure out, how can I bet on a league when I don't know anything about it? The smart thing is probably to sit back and wait until you learn, but people got to scratch the itch, man. So what do you do from an expert standpoint? How do you go about handicapping and betting on the AAF?
So I'm going to give two tips here. Let's talk sides here. When you see a big line move as a professional bettor in the NFL, you're almost always looking to fade that move, to go against it. Example, the Steelers are laying 4 against Cleveland. If Pittsburgh went up to -7, as a pro bettor, I can tell you it would be so rare that I'd be looking to bet Pittsburgh at that point. The value would be on the underdog, +7, fading that line move. This is not the case with a brand new league. These numbers that the bookies are putting out on this league, they're just guesses. No one really knows how good these teams are. So we saw this the last week. Atlanta was playing Orlando. Orlando opened -4. They closed -7. Well, guess what? At -4, at -7, or at -10, Orlando was the right side, crushing Atlanta 40-6. Don't look to fade line moves in leagues where the numbers just are wild guesses.
Now, I remember this happening in the UFC. Rich Franklin was a UFC middleweight champion, and he was a pretty good fighter. And so he was fighting this guy that a lot of people in America didn't really know about, and his name was Anderson Silva. And I believe Anderson Silva was a 2-1 underdog in their first fight. And I looked around at my buddies thinking, they have no idea who this guy is. And he went out and slaughtered Rich Franklin and became one of the greatest fighters of all time in the UFC. So is this a similar situation, Brad? Have you seen something like this, to where a new sport, a new league, something new opens up and people just don't know what they're looking at? So like Steve says, they're just guessing when they're putting these lines out?
Yeah, and you know, I see it every year, actually, believe it or not, in college football, Jonas. When I bet early lines in college football, and it happens in May and June, it's just me against the bookmaker. He's kind of got his own power rating. I got mine. It's a soft line. I like to think that I'm a little bit more knowledgeable in that sport because I specialize in it. I'm not worried about baseball. I'm not worried about the UFC and the NBA playoffs and whatnot. So you even see it in a sport like college football. Each year, that starting off point, you can have some soft numbers where there's a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace.
And also, you take a look at what the AAF was saying. A lot of it's a smokescreen. They're like, oh, this is going to be a super high-scoring league. We've changed the rules to promote this. It sure sounds great. And then you look at the actual rules changes that were put in play. Yeah, you can't blitz. But aside from that, none of these changes are really significant in terms of increasing scoring significantly. And anyone who goes back to the XFL back in 2001 remembers how low scoring those games started. It's going to take a while for scoring to go up in this league. And remember, quarterback is so critical, and all the good quarterbacks play in the NFL. What happens when a bad quarterback has to start in the NFL? The game tends to be lower scoring.
And the stadiums are empty. How do you, is there a home field advantage for anybody in these games? And not like the NFL, right? I mean, you watched Legion Field in Birmingham, which, by the way, I've been to. It is a dump and a half. And there was nobody in the crowd at that game. Arizona State in Tempe last night, there was nobody in the crowd. So does anybody have a home field advantage?
But with that being, keep that in mind, the home team still went 4-0, Fez.
Yeah, you know, I think the home field actually might be greater, Jonas, because they changed the play clock from 40 to 35 seconds. So think about that. You got to get your plays in and out faster. Who is that going to benefit? It's going to be easier for the home team. When you're rushed to get that playoff and you're the road team and there is any crowd noise or distractions, that's going to be a tougher hurdle for you to have to rush as the road team.
Now, Fez, rule changes that you liked, rule changes you think the NFL could implement. What were you big on this weekend in the AAF?
So two rules changes. Love the 35-second clock. More plays, so more action. Love that. Would love to see the NFL go to that. I also like the fact, instead of the onside kick, which is almost impossible to recover now in the NFL because you can't get a running start, they have a rule in the final 5 minutes that you can try to retain possession. In fact, you do retain possession. You can opt, instead of giving the ball to your opponent on the 25, you can go ahead and try a 4th-and-12 from your own 28 after scoring a touchdown. So it gives the team that's way behind a chance in the final 5 minutes to go ahead and retain the ball.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.